Desert Island Discs.
Mr. Turdis, whereabouts were you born?
I was born in West Hartlepool, in the county of Durham.
Yeah.
And I left there when I was 3 months old and didn't return until I was 34 years of age. I was doing a tour with Dame Nellie Melba. We arrived in West Hartlepool in a fog and left in a fog. And that's all I know of my birthplace.
Were your parents musical?
My father was an awfully good singer.
Mm.
I think I got my music from him.
How old were you when you started taking an active interest?
Well, I was a pianist originally. I was 6 years old at my first performance in public on the piano.
Yes.
And I remember playing a tarantella of Stephen Heller at breakneck speed to show off.
And what was the next important event?
Leaving home at the age of 13 with my parents' permission to earn the wherewithal to study the violin, which I'd always hankered after. My parents were very poor.
You were a professional musician at the age of 13?
I was, yes, a pianist.
Yes. Which year was this, if you don't mind bringing years into it?
Well, 1889, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
And what was your first professional job?
My first professional job was in Scarborough. We were a band of musicians, supposed to be Hungarians, and we were all British. And I remember that our costumes made us look more like brigands than the Hungarians. And I tumbled from one engagement into the other. And one of the engagements that I remember was at Clacton-on-Sea. The proprietor was quite a terrible violinist, and we used to play to about 700 or 800 children who had treats, you know, mm-hmm. from their schools. And he was a very portly man, and whenever he played with me, he had to undo his braces to reach the G string of the violin.
Yes. And with the money that you were earning by playing professionally, you were using to pay for your studies?
I used to have intermittent study at the Trent College of Music, which is the first institution I entered, and again the same sort of thing at the Royal Academy of Music some 3 or 4 years later.
Yes. Now, your instrument then was the violin. When did you change to the viola?
Well, that was quite by accident. When I was a student at the Academy, there was a fellow student who wanted to play string quartets, and there was no student there at that time who played the viola. And he asked me if I would do it, and I took it up, and the first moment that I played on it, I loved it.
Mm.
And after about 3 weeks, we played a quartet to the late Sir Alexander Mackenzie, who was principal then. And when we finished, he came up to me and said, "How long have you taken this up for?" I said, 3 weeks. And his reply was, "In my opinion, you'll never regret it."
Oh, truly he spoke. And when you left the Academy, what happened?
Well, I joined the Queen's Hall Orchestra as a violinist. I was the last player in the second violins.
Mm-hmm. That was Sir Henry Wood's orchestra.
That was Sir Henry Wood. And when I took up the viola, he somehow or other heard me play and immediately made me the principal viola in the viola section.
Yeah.
I remember that.
How long did you stay with the Queen's Hall Orchestra?
I think I stayed about 6 months until there was a rumpus about the deputy system and about 40 players left the Queen's Hall. Sir Henry wanted me to stay on with him, and the 40 players wanted me to stay on with them, but I took the opportunity of giving up orchestral playing because I didn't like it at all. I wanted to get on with my solo playing.
Yes. Now, in those days, the viola was the Cinderella of the stringed instruments.
Yes, it was really the scullery maid of the orchestra. It was a despised instrument.
And there's very small repertoire for it.
And a very small, in fact, no repertoire at all for solo music.
Well, you toured the United States and Europe as a soloist for many years, and really it's thanks to your efforts that there's a very much larger repertoire now. Who in particular have written
William Walton.
Mm-hmm.
Rayform Williams, Hindemith,
And you've made many transcriptions for the instrument
yourself.
I made
a lot of arrangements. And I used to try and get them published, but it was a jolly difficult matter. One had to go cap in hand to the publishers. And if a publisher ever did print work for solo viola, he was jolly quick in reminding me that it was an act of philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the critics were rather high hat about transcriptions.
Prejudice, yes. Not so very many years ago, I arranged the clarinet concerto of Mozart and played it at the Hereford Three Choirs Festival. The next day, out came a tirade against me, headed in huge flaming lines, "Mozart knew best."
Oh, dear.
About 2 days after that, I met the critic who wrote the article at a press luncheon, and he came towards me and said, "I suppose you'll have me up for slander." I said, "Not at all." It was the most wonderful piece of publicity for the viola. In it, you mentioned the viola at least 30 times, and moreover, I don't at all mind being second best to Mozart.
A nice reply. You were associated with Sir Thomas Beecham for a long while, weren't you?
Yes, I knew him when he was playing Mr. Beecham. Mm. And many years afterwards, I think he was at Covent Garden, and he asked me to come and listen to the balance of the orchestra and edit his parts. And during that time, I remember one day going to him and saying, "Sir Thomas, your viola section are rather poor in tone quality. Would you mind if I gave them some hints on tone production, providing they're willing?" And he replied, "My dear boy, boil them if you like."
Mr. Tertius, it was in 1937, 25 years ago, that you announced your retirement.
Yes, that was due to my right arm. I was suffering from fibrositis, and I couldn't really practice what I preached.
But really, you've never stopped playing.
Really, I've never stopped playing.
But having ceased to be quite so busy, you set about redesigning the viola.
I did.
Now, why did the instrument need redesigning?
Well, there were very few instruments of the great masters, and they mostly were very large and cumbersome.
Yes, you had a beautiful 16th century instrument yourself.
Yes, a Montagnano, which I gave to my pupil Bernard Shaw.
But there were smaller ones.
There were smaller ones, but they had no semblance of true viola tone.
Yes.
And I had many theories, which I said I would put into practice at the first opportunity.
You worked with a craftsman?
I worked with Arthur Richardson, a very fine craftsman who lived in Devon.
Yes.
And he produced a viola to my design, incorporating my theories, which has proved quite a success.
And now there are Tertius model violas being made all over the world.
Yes, there are about 500 in existence now.
Mm-hmm. This was a labour of love. You've never patented your ideas. You've never drawn a royalty.
Oh, no. If I'd demanded a royalty from the craftsman, they'd never made them.
And then you applied your ideas to the cello after that.
I did. My wife plays the cello, and she has a very fine testori, but she's discarded that for the Tertius model cello.
That's a nice compliment to your ideas. And now I believe you're working on the violin.
I am. I've got two violins, as a matter of fact, just made, and I'm waiting to see how they turn out before I give a demonstration in the autumn.
Now, Mr. Tertius, you always have new projects, travelling and lecturing. You never stop.
Well, as a matter of fact, I went to New York when I was just approaching to be an octogenarian. And among my activities, I gave a lecture recital on string quartet playing to a vast gathering of amateur chamber music players. After my paper, they plied me with questions for at least a half an hour until I wondered whether I could answer another one, when a man got up at the back of the hall and said, "Say, Mr. Tertius, could you give us the recipe for longevity?" I was completely knocked off my perch, but I managed to reply that my recipe was that I don't drink and I don't smoke, but I'm not quite a saint.
Well, there can be few people in the musical world for many years that you haven't known. Who have been the most inspiring musicians you've worked
with? Well, first and foremost, of course, Fritz Kreisler, who is my god.
Yes.
I used to follow him about like a dog, you know, at all his concerts. And what little I know, I've learnt from him, because there was no one to teach the viola in my days. I remember at the Crystal Palace when he overwhelmed me with his wonderful playing. When he came out of the artist's room, I went to him. He was with a mutual friend. I said, "Mr. Chrysler, would you give me some lessons?" And when he knew my name, he said, "What do you want lessons for? Besides, I have no time to give lessons." The most unbelievable of unbelievable things happened about 20 years later. He'd evidently heard me play, and he invited me to play with him in New York at Carnegie Hall, the Mozart Concertante Symphony.
Yeah.
We did, and we played it at Boston, and then he filled my cup to overflowing by saying, "We will play it at the Albert Hall in London."
Oh, that must have been a wonderful night.
Thrilling experience.
Mm-hmm.